Hello, you guys. It has been such a long time since I've been on here regularly. I have been giving a lot of thought to my podcast now that we are approaching season two, and I've just been kind of feeling it around and figuring out what I want to give, who I want to be for you guys, and the kind of content that you guys want to listen to. And I've come to a realization that I really don't like teaching boring topics. Like, I love just giving motivational mindset tips because personally, that's all that I listen to. I only listen to mindset and personal development and business podcasts that aren't so pushy and like, this is what you need to do. I just want someone to just give it to me straight and give it to me real. And I just want to make sure that I'm doing that for you guys. So I'm going to be kind of restructuring how I do the content here. And for season two, the main focus of the podcast season is going to be mindset, small hacks, quick tips, easy, tangible steps, all those things, because that matters more to me than just teaching something that I want you to hear, but maybe you're not ready to hear it yet. And I just turned 30. Happy quarantine birthday to all you April babies out there, April 25th. What is that show? Every time I forget it. Miss Congeniality. And I post that video every year because April 25th is the perfect date. If you know, you know. If you don't, I'm sorry. And so I have given things a lot of thought. And being 30 for like a week and a half now, I am just not doing what I don't want to do anymore. And I'm not taking junk anymore. So I'm really excited. I have been brainstorming topics left and right and things that are helpful and encouraging and motivating because that's who I really am. I really care and I don't want to just shove information down your throat all the time because I don't even listen to that. So I just want to be sure you guys are aware. Here are a couple rebroadcasts from 2018 from my older podcast. And then just know that the next episode will be going live for season two sometime late May or June. Can't wait. Talk to you soon, friends. Hey guys, I'm Alora Rochelle, and you're listening to the Align with Alora podcast. This podcast is about motivation and finding your purpose for all you thriving creatives out there. Because I strongly believe you don't have to constantly hustle to grow and pursue your wildest dreams. So each week, we're going to be having conversations about things that matter most, like motherhood, our faith, photography, business, and just plain real life. I want to share all the mistakes that I've made because I want you to know that I've been there before and you can totally grow and pursue your wildest dreams. I'm so glad you're here with me today, friend. Here's today's episode. I think the first tip that nobody teaches you about becoming a business owner, this isn't even about just like being a photographer, a business owner in general, you must be good with people. Yeah, you wasn't expecting that answer, right? Yes, you must be good with people. You know, my dad is a three and I've watched him over time and he's extremely good with people. Every restaurant we go to, he has his regulars. He has people that give him discounts because he's that really nice guy that bumps them up and makes them feel really good about themselves. And he's just a people person. So what am I saying? The best marketing tip that I have learned from experience myself and from things that I've seen, I actually am an observer. Even though I am an extrovert, I do observe a lot more than people give me credit for, which is kind of funny. It sneaks up. I have observed that people like to talk about themselves. People like when you're generally interested in them. People like when you ask them questions about them. So like when you are meeting your client, the first thing that I do is hey, how's it going? How was the weather? How was the drive? You know, just the basic small talk that you just kind of have to do unless you just get right into it. Good for you. I'm not good at that awkward stuff. I like to ease into conversations. And so I ask, you know, how that is. And then eventually just like, so tell me about you. Tell me about your story. Tell me about why you want to hire me. So that gives them the floor automatically and it makes them feel as if they have control. But the entire time that I am listening to them talk, I'm looking for cues that let me, indicators that let me know that this person is a good fit for me. Also letting me know if we have anything in common or if we could possibly even be friendors or friends and stuff like that. I think you have to be willing to not necessarily take over the conversation and give a little bit to them, see what they do with it, and then take that information, study it, analyze it, and service them. So that is probably my biggest thing. When I first started out, I thought, you know, I just had to be like everybody else. I had to look the part. I had to have this lens. I had to have this bag, and I had to have this camera, and that made me a professional. It's not true. It's not true at all. The thing that makes you incredible as a business owner, as a photographer, is setting yourself apart from everybody else. And so when I would meet my clients, I used to be, at first, I was so stale. Oh, I'm trying to forget, like, what it was like. But I do remember one instance where we met at Target. Like, I've been obsessed with Target apparently for a very long time because I was like, let's meet in Target. There's a Starbucks there. And she's like, oh my gosh, yeah, I had to do some shopping. So we met there and I had this like paper contract, this paper questionnaire for her to fill out. And she was just like, okay, cool. And she thought like I was so cool. And I was sweating the whole time. Like, oh my God, I'm such a fake. I'm such an imposter. Ugh, my logo, I just made it, you know, on PicMonkey. And, you know, overall, she would ask me questions, not even about my gear, not about, you know, just the basic stuff that the knot tells the brides to ask now. But she asked me, like, what made me different? You know, what did I love about being a photographer? What could I offer her on her wedding day? Why should she hire me? And I had nothing for that. I was like, I have a list of all my professional gear in my mind. I have a list of all the things that a newbie would study to make themselves look better than who they are. I was a fake it till you make it girl. I will probably always be a fake it till you make it girl. I can roll with the punches with a smile and literally not know that something was about to happen. That's me. So when she asked me those questions, I was like, oh my God. And I like took out my computer and was like, I'm just going to go look over something really quick and I needed time to think. And then I just started talking about the wedding day. Like, you know, I am recently engaged and I know what you're going through. And as a photographer, I can help you. I can give you advice. I can help you with the timeline. I can help you with this. And I generally love my clients. I want us to be friends. I want to capture the best moments of your life that are going to be treasured for years and decades to come. That's what makes me different. Like, I love what I do. And if you hire me, you're not only getting a photographer, but you're also getting a friend. And you're also getting someone who's going to hold your dress for you. The person who's going to be like, did you drink water today? Did you eat a sandwich? Because you could possibly faint. And she was like, oh my God, I'm hiring you on the spot. And I was like, really? You know, I don't really know what I'm talking about necessarily, but just be yourself, and that is good enough. Be good with people. Sell yourself. Why do you want to do this? Why do you want to be a business owner? Why do you want to be a photographer? Why do you want to be a videographer, wedding planner, whatever it is that you want to do? Like, why do you want to do that? What can you offer your clients that makes you different than Karen, Susie, so-and-so? I just threw out some random names that I see on the internet. What makes you special? And like, write those things down. The next thing that really helped me book my clients is I throw a little bit of myself out there. I say, you know, I like to do this and I like to do that. What are things that you guys like to do? I'm serious. Like, being good with people, that advice alone goes such a long way, because like, now I have brides emailing me and they're saying, I feel like you're not going to give me the same cut and paste poses that I see on Instagram. And she said, and that's what I want. I want you to capture us as us and not make us be something we're not. What? Brides know that there's so many of us doing the exact same thing and they're looking for something different. So different is in right now. My mind was blown. And then it just kind of was a confirmation to me, like, now I know why I do what I do. I do it for them. I've already known that. But like, the fact that they've seen that in my work was just such a validation for me. Like, keep doing what you're doing. Don't do anything for the hype. Like, this is at the end of the day, as much as we love to go viral and we would love to be famous and on People Magazine, this is our clients' special day. They're putting so much money into this. This day is not going to happen again, hopefully. And we have to show up, do our job, care, literally freaking care, and be present for them. yeah, I just went off on a rant about, but I just feel like the best advice you can give somebody starting out is start out with an open mind. Do not close your mind into things that you think you need to be because someone told you or because someone showed you, well, this is what they're doing, so we're going to do that. Absolutely not. The only thing that you can bring to the table that is different than the other Joe Blow and Kokomo photographer is that you are you. You dress like you do. You like to eat this type of food. You like to watch this type of movie. You like to dance in the kitchen. You like to stay at home. You like to go out and play in the fields, whatever you like to do. There is somebody else out there that loves that just as much as you do. So I guess this is kind of getting into like your ideal client. Like figure out the things that you can bring to the table and figure out the things that you, the type of clients you'd like to work with. That is the secret. The secret is putting yourself in a specific niche. And then everything else will kind of just fall into place. I know I talk about it a lot, and maybe it's easy for me to say because I'm the type of person who just jumps into something, and if it works out, great. And if it doesn't, we'll make adjustments. But you'll never know anything in life if you never take the first step. My goodness. You know, you can do all that you can. You can do all the research. You can be all the cool things, have a blog, but if you don't ask someone if they need a photographer, like if this is for absolute newbies or starting out, if you don't even claim the title and if you just don't make the first step, you will never be that thing. And I am not saying this from a place that I don't know what I'm talking about, because that was me. When I first started out, and I mentioned this before in my other podcast about imposter syndrome, I did not want anyone to know I was a photographer. I was mortified because once you say it, it's real. And people have the ability to say and think whatever they want about you. And that is scary. And I did not market myself at all. I was so embarrassed to be one. I was just playing with it to see what happened. And I didn't want anyone to know. Because what if I was failing? And if someone told me that I was a failure in the beginning, that probably would have killed all of my self-esteem. Because in the beginning, you just don't know anything. You just jump right in. And so that is just, I don't know. Personal story, I didn't tell anyone I was a photographer. I just posted pictures and, you know, a lot of people were like, oh, I didn't know that you were a photographer. Oh, do you do weddings or do you, what do you do? And I'm like, oh, it's just a hobby. You know, the only reason why I'm a photographer here today is because someone was like, I can't afford a photographer. Will you shoot my wedding? Do you know how to do that? And I was like, no, but I can sure as heck try. And then like I did. I could have told her no. I could have said, no, I don't do that. Like, I don't, you know, it was like a friend and she needed my help. And so I walked into the door and so much has come of that. And I kind of am thankful that I took the leap, even though I still wasn't claiming that I was a photographer. I'm glad that I took one step that turned into a business, like a full-blown business. If someone would have told me that I would be where I'm at now back then when I was still playing around with my kit lens, I would have literally laughed like, yeah, right, buddy. I'm going to be a web designer and there's nothing else to it. This photography thing is just a fun hobby. The next tip that I would suggest is definitely reading a book, a business book. I wish that was something someone told me, but because I'm an overachiever, I kind of observed all ways to get ahead of the game. And so I invested in a couple Girl Boss books that have really changed my mindset. I talk about it all the time, probably not enough maybe recently because she's launching a new book, but Girl Wash Your Face pretty much squashes all of the lies that you tell yourself that you are. And it was good. She was real. She was raw. She's another type 3 and I have mad respect for her. And it was really good. Another book that I'm recently reading is called The Purple Cow by Seth Godin. And I actually kind of want to quote him a little bit for this tip. He is like the marketing king. And yeah, The Purple Cow already sounds weird, right? Well, I guess the whole point is that it sounds different. Within like the first chapter, he got me when he was just like, you know, we were on a road trip, me and my family, and we were, you know, in the middle of nowhere, and all of a sudden we saw a cow, and it was really cool, like, whoa, wow, it's a cow, you know, like in the middle of nowhere, that's so cool. Then we saw another one, then we saw another one, then we saw another one, and we were just kind of like, okay, whatever, it's a cow. At this point, we've established there are a million cows in the middle of nowhere, and so their interest was lost, and then he thought to himself, man, but what if there was a purple cow That would be incredible. That would be something to see. I would really like to see a purple cow. And so that instantly screamed at my mind, like, yeah, there, when you get in a certain niche in a certain area, you just become another blank, you know? And I tried to get into the trends. I've tried everything, and I still find myself, well, I don't know, being myself. And I just think about it like, well, eventually people are just going to see it as a purple cow, you know? The things that you do that are different, that set you apart, your style that's not replicated because of someone else, it's not inspired by anyone else. And if you listen to my podcast about Instagram and unfollowing people that don't inspire you or people that you find yourself replicating, I believe that with my whole heart. I believe that it's really easy to get influenced here in social media by anything and everything. We dress like what we see, what we watch, you know, is what we become, what we say, the cool things that we say, everything is by media. Like, I don't think anyone really has a generally original trend. unless you do something different, unless you try your own methods and you inspire yourself from other things. So I find myself not necessarily following photographers as much as I follow graphic designers or calligraphers, poets, things that inspire my own creativity. There is this book called Big Magic that is out there, and I haven't really read it, but I have heard that when you get this spark of creativity and you can't eat, can't sleep until you either write it down or accomplishment, like that's your big magic. And that's happened to me so many times. And I probably wouldn't have known if I was just too busy comparing myself to people that were similar to me or in a similar field as me. So something you can give to your clients, yourself, like you are your brand. Just point blank, you are your brand. And do you want to be a regular cow or do you want to be a purple cow? Do you want to give something different? Do you have a different approach, a different posing style, different editing style? Or do you just want to be like everybody else and fall into the mixture and then nobody can find you? So those are like my two major marketing tips. I haven't really done anything else other than just being myself. So I'm sorry if this wasn't the secret you were looking for, but I hope it steers you in the right direction to analyze and just take a minute to think and figure out who you are, what you want to work with. And I hope it inspires you. And I hope you step your foot in the right direction and just go through the door. You never know what's on the other side. I think the first tip that nobody teaches you about becoming a business owner, this isn't even about just like being a photographer, a business owner in general, you must be good with people. Yeah, you wasn't expecting that answer, right? Yes, you must be good with people. You know, my dad is a three and I've watched him over time and he's extremely good with people. Every restaurant we go to, he has his regulars. He has people that give him discounts because he's that really nice guy that bumps them up and makes them feel really good about themselves. And he's just a people person. So, what am I saying? The best marketing tip that I have learned from experience myself and from things that I've seen, I actually am an observer, even though I am an extrovert. I do observe a lot more than people give me credit for, which is kind of funny. It sneaks up. I have observed that people like to talk about themselves. People like when you're generally interested in them. People like when you ask them questions about them. So, like when you are meeting your client, the first thing that I do is I would love, I just, hey, how's it going? How was the weather? How was the drive? You know, just the basic small talk that you just kind of have to do, unless you just get right into it. Good for you. I'm not good at that awkward stuff. I like to ease into conversations. And so I ask, you know, how that is. And then eventually just like, so tell me about you. Tell me about your story. Tell me about why you want to hire me. So that gives them the floor automatically and it makes them feel as if they have control. But the entire time that I am listening to them talk, I'm looking for cues that let me, indicators that let me know that this person is a good fit for me. Also letting me know if we have anything in common or if we could possibly even be friendors or friends and stuff like that. I think you have to be willing to not necessarily take over the conversation and give a little bit to them, see what they do with it, and then take that information, study it, analyze it, and service them. So that is probably my biggest thing. When I first started out, I thought, you know, I just had to be like everybody else. I had to look the part. I had to have this lens. I had to have this bag, and I had to have this camera, and that made me a professional. It's not true. It's not true at all. The thing that makes you incredible as a business owner, as a photographer, is setting yourself apart from everybody else. And so when I would meet my clients, I used to be, at first, I was so stale. Oh, I'm trying to forget like what it was like, but I do remember one instance where we met at Target. Like I've been obsessed with Target apparently for a very long time because I was like, let's meet in Target. There's a Starbucks there. And she's like, oh my gosh, yeah, I had to do some shopping. So we met there and I had this like paper contract, this paper questionnaire for her to fill out. And she was just like, okay, cool. And she thought like I was so cool. And I was sweating the whole time. Like, oh my God, I'm such a fake. I'm such an imposter. Ugh, my logo, I just made it, you know, on PicMonkey. And, you know, overall, she would ask me questions, not even about my gear, not about, you know, just the basic stuff that the knot tells the brides to ask now. But she asked me, like, what made me different? You know, what did I love about being a photographer? What could I offer her on her wedding day? Why should she hire me? And I had nothing for that. I was like, I have a list of all my professional gear in my mind. I have a list of all the things that a newbie would study to make themselves look better than who they are. I was a fake it till you make it girl. I will probably always be a fake it till you make it girl. I can roll with the punches with a smile and literally not know that something was about to happen. That's me. So when she asked me those questions, I was like, oh my God. And I like took out my computer and was like, I'm just going to go look over something really quick and I needed time to think. And then I just started talking about the wedding day. Like, you know, I am recently engaged and I know what you're going through. And as a photographer, I can help you. I can give you advice. I can help you with the timeline. I can help you with this. And I genuinely love my clients. I want us to be friends. I want to capture the best moments of your life that are going to be treasured for years and decades to come. That's what makes me different. Like, I love what I do. And if you hire me, you're not only getting a photographer, but you're also getting a friend. And you're also getting someone who's going to hold your dress for you. The person who's going to be like, did you drink water today? Did you eat a sandwich? Because you could possibly faint. And she was like, oh my God, I'm hiring you on the spot. And I was like, really? You know, I don't really know what I'm talking about necessarily, but just be yourself. And that is good enough. Be good with people. Sell yourself. Why do you want to do this? Why do you want to be a business owner? Why do you want to be a photographer? Why do you want to be a videographer, wedding planner, whatever it is that you want to do? Like, why do you want to do that? What can you offer your clients that makes you different than Karen, Susie, so-and-so? I just threw out some random names that I see on the internet. What makes you special? And like, write those things down. The next thing that really helped me book my clients is I throw a little bit of myself out there. I say, you know, I like to do this and I like to do that. What are things that you guys like to do? I'm serious. Like, being good with people, that advice alone goes such a long way, because like now I have brides emailing me and they're saying, I feel like you're not going to give me the same cut and paste poses that I see on Instagram. And she said, and that's what I want. I want you to capture us as us and not make us be something we're not. What? Brides know that there's so many of us doing the exact same thing and they're looking for something different. So different is in right now. My mind was blown. And then it just kind of was a confirmation to me, like, now I know why I do what I do. I do it for them. I've already known that. But like, the fact that they've seen that in my work was just such a validation for me. Like, keep doing what you're doing. Don't do anything for the hype. Like, this is at the end of the day, as much as we love to go viral and we would love to be famous and on People magazine, this is our client's special day. They're putting so much money into this. This day is not going to happen again, hopefully. And we have to show up, do our job, care, literally freaking care, and be present for them. Yeah, I just went off on a rant about, but I just feel like The best advice you can give somebody starting out is start out with an open mind. Do not close your mind into things that you think you need to be because someone told you or because someone showed you, well, this is what they're doing, so we're going to do that. Absolutely not. The only thing that you can bring to the table that is different than the other Joe Blow and Kokomo photographer is that you are you. You dress like you do. You like to eat this type of food. You like to watch this type of movie. You like to dance in the kitchen. You like to stay at home. You like to go out and play in the fields, whatever you like to do. There is somebody else out there that loves that just as much as you do. So I guess this is kind of getting into like your ideal client. Like figure out the things that you can bring to the table and figure out the things that you, the type of clients you'd like to work with. That is the secret. The secret is putting yourself in the specific niche. And then everything else will kind of just fall into place. I know I talk about it a lot, and maybe it's easy for me to say because I'm the type of person who just jumps into something, and if it works out, great. And if it doesn't, we'll make adjustments. But you'll never know anything in life if you never take the first step. My goodness. You know, you can do all that you can. You can do all the research. You can be all the cool things, have a blog, but if you don't ask someone if they need a photographer, like if this is for absolute newbies or starting out, if you don't even claim the title and if you just don't make the first step, you will never be that thing. And I am not saying this from a place that I don't know what I'm talking about, because that was me. When I first started out, and I mentioned this before in my other podcast about imposter syndrome, I did not want anyone to know I was a photographer. I was mortified because once you say it, it's real. And people have the ability to say and think whatever they want about you, and that is scary. And I did not market myself at all. I was so embarrassed to be one. I was just playing with it to see what happened, and I didn't want anyone to know, because what if I was failing? And if someone told me that I was a failure in the beginning, that probably would have killed all of my self-esteem, because in the beginning, you just don't know anything. You just jump right in. And so that is just, I don't know. Personal story, I didn't tell anyone I was a photographer. I just posted pictures, and you know, a lot of people were like, oh, I didn't know that you were a photographer. Oh, do you do weddings, or what do you do? And I'm like, oh, it's just a hobby. You know, the only reason why I'm a photographer here today is because someone was like, I can't afford a photographer. Will you shoot my wedding? Do you know how to do that? And I was like, no, but I can sure as heck try. And then like I did. I could have told her no. I could have said, no, I don't do that. Like, I don't, you know, it was like a friend and she needed my help. And so I walked into the door, and so much has come of that. And I kind of am thankful that I took the leap, even though I still wasn't claiming that I was a photographer. I'm glad that I took one step that turned into a business, like a full blown business. If someone would have told me that I would be where I'm at now back then when I was still playing around with my kit lens, I would have literally laughed like, yeah, right, buddy. I'm going to be a web designer and there's nothing else to it. This photography thing is just a fun hobby. The next tip that I would suggest is definitely reading a book, a business book. I wish that was something someone told me, but because I'm an overachiever, I kind of observed all ways to get ahead of the game. And so I invested in a couple Girl Boss books that have really changed my mindset. I talk about it all the time, probably not enough maybe recently because she's launching a new book, but Girl Wash Your Face pretty much squashes all of the lies that you tell yourself that you are. And it was good. She was real. She was raw. She's another type 3, and I have mad respect for her. And it was really good. Another book that I'm recently reading is called The Purple Cow by Seth Godin. And I actually kind of want to quote him a little bit for this tip. He is like the marketing king. And yeah, The Purple Cow already sounds weird, right? Well, I guess the whole point is that it sounds different. Within like the first chapter, he got me when he was just like, you know, we were on a road trip, me and my family, and we were, you know, in the middle of nowhere, and all of a sudden we saw a cow, and it was really cool. Like, whoa, wow, it's a cow, you know, like in the middle of nowhere. That's so cool. And then we saw another one. Then we saw another one. Then we saw another one. And we were just kind of like, okay, whatever. It's a cow. At this point, we've established there are a million cows in the middle of nowhere. And so their interest was lost. And then he thought to himself, man, but what if there was a purple cow? That would be incredible. That would be something to see. I would really like to see a purple cow. And so that instantly screamed at my mind, like, yeah, there, when you get in a certain niche, in a certain area, you just become another blank, you know? And I tried to get into the trends. I've tried everything, and I still find myself, well, I don't know, being myself. And I just think about it like, well, eventually people are just going to see it as a purple cow, you know? The things that you do that are different, that set you apart, your style that's not replicated because of someone else, it's not inspired by anyone else. And if you listen to my podcast about Instagram and unfollowing people that don't inspire you or people that you find yourself replicating, I believe that with my whole heart. I believe that it's really easy to get influenced here in social media by anything and everything. We dress like what we see, what we watch, you know, is what we become, what we say, the cool things that we say, everything is by media. Like, I don't think anyone really has a generally original trend unless you do something different, unless you try your own methods and you inspire yourself from other things. So I find myself not necessarily following photographers as much as I follow graphic designers or calligraphers, poets, things that inspire my own creativity. There is this book called Big Magic that is out there, and I haven't really read it, but I have heard that when you get this spark of creativity and you can't eat, can't sleep until you either write it down or accomplishment, like that's your big magic. And that's happened to me so many times. And I probably wouldn't have known if I was just too busy comparing myself to people that were similar to me or in a similar field as me. So something you can give to your clients, yourself, like you are your brand. Just point blank, you are your brand. And do you want to be a regular cow or do you want to be a purple cow? Do you want to give something different? Do you have a different approach, a different posing style, different editing style? Or do you just want to be like everybody else and fall into the mixture and then nobody can find you? So those are like my two major marketing tips. I haven't really done anything else other than just being myself. So I'm sorry if this wasn't the secret you were looking for, but I hope it steers you in the right direction to analyze and just take a minute to think and figure out who you are, what you want to work with. And I hope it inspires you. And I hope you step your foot in the right direction and just go through the door. You never know what's on the other side. I realized that sharing my story helped me heal and it helped others. I feel like on Instagram, of course, that's where the party's at. On Instagram, I was very hesitant to share a couple things. Of course, we all are real. We'll share like, hey, we all struggling. Everybody keep it together. Thanks for showing up, you know, but actually sharing like the struggles of being a mom, the struggles of keeping up with your work and the struggles of, oh, I don't know, not wanting to get out of the house in your pajamas because you have so many emails to answer. All of that stuff. And I was very honest about a couple things and just how I just don't feel like I have it together. And it's amazing how many people really think I do have it together. And I promise you I don't. Being that I am an Enneagram 3, well, it's easy because we're so good at making it look easy. And we even say it sometimes like, oh, that was easy. Oh, that's no big deal. Or I'm just super busy, but I can do it because I can do anything. But deep down inside, we're kind of like panicking on like how we're going to handle the rest of the week, the rest of the day, the rest of the year, for crying out loud. So yes, that is me. Nice to meet you. If you don't know what the Enneagram is, take the doggone test, okay? It's going to open your eyes. It's going to open your eyes even about your relationships, your friends, your family. I feel like I know so much more about everybody in my life because of this test. And yes, it's not one of those like voodoo Myers-Briggs. Okay, some people say Myers-Briggs works for them. It doesn't work for me, so that's my personal opinion. But it's not one of those tests that tell you your future or anything crazy. But it does kind of lay out your childhood wounds that caused you to have, you know, your number. And then also things that you struggle with, but things you're so good at. Like, every number has a beautiful gift. And the more that I look into it, it's just amazing. Like, we all really do need each other. Because everybody has the little something based on their personality that they can bring to the table. And I don't know. I'm obsessed. I'm never going to be able to go back. And if you get caught up in the rabbit hole, follow Enneagram and Coffee on Instagram. Homegirl went from zero followers to 150K in a week because that's how obsessed we all are. So what is the Enneagram? Why do I keep talking about this? Okay, here. So it has taught me about community, simply what I'm trying to get at. Sharing my story and also realizing a lot of people struggle with the same things as me is kind of reassuring. You go on in this world and we're all secretly thinking to ourselves, man, I hope, or I don't have this, I need this. And, you know, we beat ourselves up about really simple things, which my therapist has called stories. Like, I had a mentor session with Jeliza Creative on Instagram, and she's amazing. She worked in the wedding industry, and I think that helps so much with everything. But she was like, okay, so the fact that you feel like you have to do this, this, and this, and this to make you a good mom, that's a story. Because you're already a good mom. You don't have to prove that. And I was just like, I stopped in my tracks. I was like, wait, what? Like, she's like, well, who told you that was what makes you a good mom? Or who told you this is like, you're believing this based on nothing to back it up. It's just something in your mind. And you're going to have to deal with that. So I took notes. I had like 3 pages full of things that I think to myself. And then I put myself down if I don't achieve them within a certain time, or because I'm not doing this, or because I'm not doing that, that I'm not a good mom, or I'm not a good business person, or I'm just not a good person. And those are stories that we tell ourselves. So that was a little snippet of my therapy session. Also had to record it because I got so many issues, but 2019, working on it. So yes, community. I feel like learning and just putting myself out there. It doesn't have to be like a diary. I feel like some people use Instagram as a literal diary, but just every once in a while, just telling the truth without any... no nonsense. just it is what it is, you know? It stinks. Like, life stinks right now. And if anybody else has been there, like, shout me out, you know? Give me a like, post a comment. And people show up. And that has really taught me a lot in 2018, like, opening up about things that are scary because somebody else is probably going through the exact same thing as me. And that is encouraging. So yeah. And then the people, so this podcast, I started on my birthday last year in April, and I just kind of did it as a dare to myself. I was like, let me start a podcast. That sounds fun. Let me just answer questions and just rant about random stuff. And it kind of took off, especially because I don't post enough, guys. Don't hate me. And I'm working on that. But I had no idea that I was going to be able to build a small community within this podcast. And it's been so amazing. The DMs that I get, the reviews that I get always bring tears to my eyes because you guys, like, it just proves that we're all struggling with the same things. And we just want someone to be like, listen, I'm there too. But you know what? It's okay. We're going to get there together. So yes, community was probably the biggest thing that I learned in 2018, and it has revolutionized my mind. And so I have this mindset now where I just really want to show up. If no one else shows up, you know that I've shown up, you know, and we can do this together because we have each other. I feel like, you know, seeing the story of ants and how one alone can only do so much, but together they could pretty much grab a whole picnic out of your basket, because that's how strong community really is, guys. Yes, I related to probably a cartoon that I saw because of Ella, but it's fine. Another thing that I learned was making friends and networking in your industry seriously will help you move mountains. I guess it's another nod to community, but the word networking is what really stands out to me. When I did my almost 30 mentorships within the past few months ago, people were talking about, like, I just don't know how to market myself. I just don't know how to get myself out there. And I said, have you ever messaged someone and been like, hey, can I just take you out for coffee and, like, let's meet? Not asking for free information, mind you, because that's absolutely annoying. Don't be like, hey, girl, so can I take you out to coffee and ask you a million questions for free? Okay, thanks. No, that doesn't work. But literally trying to make a connection and seeing if you guys vibe and you guys network, and then, you know, back and forth, that is a huge marketing tip, is meeting new people, getting like minds together, and just supporting each other and being like, yes, girl, me too. Also another nod to community. But I feel like networking is like a branch of community. So that was something that I learned. I made so many new friends in 2018, and I'm super excited for all the friends that I'm going to make in 2019. It's going to be great. The third thing that I've learned was it's okay to let go and take care of yourself. So being that I am a 3, I don't stop. I never stop. I am a workaholic, and I say it all the time, and it's true. I think I say it all the time because it's like a constant reminder to myself, like, hey, Alora, slow down, chick. I've learned that it's okay to even have 1 or 2 days off from work to take care of myself. Even if that means going for a walk, going to Barnes & Noble and reading a book, something that just lets me clear my mind. Naturally, I am a people pleaser, so I do worry a lot about things that people expect me to do, people want me to do, or even things that people need me to do, even if they're not even asking. So it's not like, you know, I have very needy friends or anything like that, but if I can feel what people need, and I am that for them, just because I like to help people so much. So that's also draining as well. And I find myself like journaling a lot and trying to like figure out my thoughts because I'm so disconnected from how I feel until I get angry, which is awful. So I find myself, I'm now just like writing down how I feel. And if it's awful, I do throw it away. But if it's good, I'll leave it and refer back to it later. And just even pumping myself up because I need it to. I pump everybody else up because I mean, I love community and it's great, but sometimes I need it for myself specifically. Like, you can do this. It's okay to live in the moment. It's okay to leave your phone. Like, I matter too. What I feel, what I want, and what I need matters too. So self-care was a huge thing for me in 2018. And I think another branch to that is resting, planning to allow myself to rest. So I am going to be more intentional about that for my week schedule because I have my daughter. I'm probably going to have, a sitter through this year more often because I need to work out a lot more problems and work more. Now that she's old enough and she's going to be 2 soon, I don't feel as guilty leaving her because she's a little toddler and she's like a little grown person. And I want to kind of put some things in my business in automation so I can be more present for her later on. So the topics that I want to talk about today, it's kind of one topic, but then I was like, I'm going to mix it with 2 because they also go hand in hand. The first topic I want to talk about is to stop looking at your competition. And I pretty much, if you follow me on Instagram, you understand that I'm constantly posting positivity and like, you know, not looking at your neighbor because that is the biggest problem. And honestly, I'm not blaming anybody for it because we were kind of taught to think that way. Social media gives you a front window look into someone else's curated, air quotes here, lifestyle. So I mentioned in my previous episode, and I had to, you know, not everything that you see is what you think it is. Don't look at influencers. Please don't look at influencers and compare your life because I already mentioned a lot of them have been given that stuff for free or, you know, I mean, just because they need a face. And unfortunately, we trust social media people probably more than celebrities. So yeah, we're going to buy whatever they say is great. If they post an outfit on their Instagram, we're going to buy it because it looks good on them because they said so because we trust them. And that's fine. But just remind yourself that you can't compare yourself. Sorry. So if you want to hear more about that, yes, go backwards one episode. But what I'm going to tell you is instead of looking to someone else or someone else's life or validation, seek what makes you happy. So I had to do this. I think everybody kind of in January 1st were like, New Year's resolutions, look at it. But I told myself that I'm going to take more social media breaks. Now, if you know anything about Instagram, they punish you sometimes for doing that because they want you to use their tools. Now, me, I've noticed that. I've actually done this. I've taken a couple breaks, maybe even like a day, and my engagement would tank. And normally that affects me, and I'm just like, man. But I really don't care anymore because I keep saying, okay, on my resolution though, I matter too. So that doesn't make sense. If I feel better after this social media day or weekend break, that's all that matters because my mental state like doesn't even acknowledge success if I'm not mentally okay, if that makes any sense. So look to yourself for your approval. Write down a list of things that literally makes you happy. I mean, it could even be sitting outside on the porch and listening to nature because that's me in the summertime. And then like realize what matters to you versus what you think matters to you because you're on social media, because you're looking at your competition, because you're looking at what they're doing, what they're achieving, what they're telling you they're doing, what they're going to tell you that they're going to do later, blah, blah, blah. I feel like maybe you should just take a look at what you're capable of doing now, what you've done, and then even look back to like your how you started in the beginning of your business and like make sure you're progressing. If you're progressing, that is good enough, honestly. I feel like competing against yourself causes you to block out the noise and think clearly. This was something that I learned when I first started in the business. I would spend hours, comparing myself to everyone's middle and everyone's, I don't even want to say the middle, I just want to say the top, because I just felt like they were so much more ahead of me. And I'm like, I used to spend hours being like, man, I will never be that good, but if I am, that would be pretty cool. And I had to check myself and I was like, will you stop putting yourself down? Why don't you just make plans to do the best that you can do and keep going? And my biggest thing for me is checklists. So I'll make a checklist and I will write down certain things. Like even for 2018, I have resolutions for my business, a resolution for like home decor, resolution like as a parent, and then spiritually, mentally, all of those things. And as long as I'm checking off something, like that's good enough for me. And that causes me to think clearly. So I mentioned this in the previous episode as well. Do a social media sweep, even if it's me. If you find yourself comparing yourself and you feel down and out about yourself, even like to the point of depression or just, you know, no inspiration, please, 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 please remove them or mute them. Because once again, you're gonna thank me later for this. It's been a huge game changer for my life. I was following accounts that were like 100K and I was just like, oh, this is painful. Oh, they're perfect. And I was like, you know what? I feel like they won't lose anything major if I unfollow and just kind of focus on myself. And I've done this countless of times. I'm not talking about your friends, but I am talking about like influencers and Insta famous people, or even like on Facebook, if someone's negative, like seriously, like blocking any type of way for negativity to come into your life is going to be a game changer for 2019. So there was a quote that really stood out to me. I saw on Pinterest and it's so true. It says, social media has created jealous behavior over illusions. Sadly, some are envious of things, relationships, and lifestyles that don't even exist. Yeah, pretty much confirms everything that I said. And like I said before, everything isn't real. This is like the highlight reel. This is as good as it's going to get. It's going to be on Instagram. Another quote that I saw was, a million likes will never be enough if you don't even like yourself. And this, oh my gosh, this is so relevant, because when I was getting burnt out, you know, towards the end of the year as photographers, we go into hibernation mode. We're planning for the new year and we're done with weddings and we're getting out of like our hustle flow and we kind of just, you know, we get a little tired. And I was posting so much stuff and I was exhausted and I didn't even check my phone. Like, you know, most of us like we'll post and be like, ooh, 5 likes, really killing it today. And I just didn't care. I was like, I'm going to post and I'm actually going to leave today because I don't even care how many likes I get. I just need to breathe. And it's true. Another one was, don't compare your real life to someone else's controlled online content. So there you have it. Take a break, put your phone down, lose it somewhere on purpose, and see how less tense and stress-free you are. Or maybe that's just me. Okay, so another topic I want to talk about is feeling like a fraud. This was a lot, and a lot of people asked me, like, does that ever go away? And I want to say yes, but yes and no. It's going to have to be something that you personally work on. And like you're probably thinking to yourself, "Well, how do I know if I really do feel like a fraud? I probably just feel like this and that." So, basically, do you ever feel like you work so hard up to a certain point and you're still feeling like the new kid at the lunch table? Like you're trying to keep up, but you just can't feel like that satisfaction even if you have made it to other people? You don't feel like it. Well, raise your hand and welcome to the club, because there's a million of us. So I looked at the definition of imposter syndrome, and it's a psychological pattern in which an individual doubts their accomplishments and has a persistent internalized fear of being exposed as a fraud. So I'm not speaking on something that I don't know about. I personally, in the beginning, did not want to tell anybody I was a photographer. I was so nervous when my parents would introduce and be like, oh yeah, Laura's getting into photography. And like that stressed me out. I was like, oh my gosh, why would you tell people? It's none of their business. I'm not even that good. You know, and I think all of us in the beginning started that way in a business, period. It doesn't have to be if you're a photographer. I feel like in any type of business, you're like, you don't want to claim it because you still feel like a newbie and you don't want anyone to judge you. And you don't want anyone to judge you. And you don't want to feel like someone sees you as not good enough because you already feel that way. And so I looked at this article about like the top 9 things that people with imposter syndrome say to themselves. And I feel like, you know, in order to get past this, you have to acknowledge it. That's the type of person I am. If I feel like there's a problem, I'm going to look into it and see if I resonate with that. And then if I do, I'm going to do all the research I can and acknowledge it and then reject it. So I don't know if that works for you, but I'm just going to read these. And then if they, even one of them relates to you, it's fine. But just realize that that is, you know, your mind playing tricks with you. Like, we're never going to really feel like we are 100% successful. And I think that's what keeps us driving to the next thing, which is good. I feel like any business person, you kind of have to keep driving yourself. But just remember to, like, sit in the moment and reflect on your successes and achievements and be like, wow, this is awesome. You know what I mean? You weren't who you were yesterday. You weren't who you were last year. And that's progress. And that's okay. You are being successful. I feel like I'm talking to myself too. Okay. So the first thing I saw was, I'm a fake and I'm going to be found out because people with imposter syndrome believe they don't deserve success. Number 2, I lucked out. Because those who believe that they are imposters, they attribute their accomplishments to luck. They think, oh, I was just in the right place at the right time, or it was a fluke. If I can do it, anyone can. Because people with this syndrome, they think they're nothing special. Whatever they achieved, apparently others can achieve too. I had a lot of help. Imposters aren't able to internalize their wins, and they find themselves deeply uncomfortable with praise. 5, I had connections. They're just being nice. Most imposters can't accept praise. They just assume the flatterer was just being nice. Failure is not an option. And this is a huge one for a lot of us, I feel, especially me, because we have a lot of pressure to avoid failure so we won't be exposed as being a fake. I'm pretty sure, or I kind of think, and so imposters use a lot of minimizing language because they don't necessarily feel super confident. And the last one is, I made it up as I went. People with imposter syndrome often discredit their own achievements. So how can we fix this? Well, if any of those resonated with you, because I feel like 2 of them resonated with me, there are some ways that you can fix this. And you know what? It's positivity. No, just kidding. Well, it is positivity. It's positive, like, reassurance. So what is some things that you can do to help yourself get through this? Because you can and you will get through this. Give up on perfectionism. You don't have to be perfect to be of value. Mistakes are growth opportunities and they're necessary parts of success. Give yourself a reality check. Challenge negative thoughts by looking for evidence. Do it until you believe it. The point is, do it even if you don't feel like it, because not all of us feel like it all the time. Actions can create feelings. So be actionable and you're going to feel great. Remember, everyone experiences self-doubt. There's nothing different or wrong with you for feeling this way. Own your successes. Notice your hard work and your abilities and traits that contribute to your success. Do not discount them or attribute to them or anyone else. Just be like, you know what? I did a good job. And that's okay. That's not being narcissistic. That's not putting yourself on a horse. Just acknowledge your success because it was a success. Don't compare yourself to others. Comparison literally focuses on what's lacking. Why don't you focus on what you're doing great instead of what's missing? Focus on just doing your personal best the next time if you feel like you failed. Practice gratitude and mindfulness. Be aware of everything. Accept praise. Even if it feels weird, just accept it. Like, thank you. You don't have to put yourself down as soon as someone gives you a compliment. Just be like, thank you so much. That means a lot. Boom. You've accepted it. And maybe that little positive comment that they said will come out later, you know? Be your own cheerleader. Give yourself encouragement, praise, and write down how you feel if you felt good in the moment, and then look at it later. Have a supportive tribe to cheer you on. So encouragement and praise from others literally isn't our self-worth, but it really does help. Having a friend that has your back or even a mentor that you trust that can tell you honestly, like, girl, you did that thing. And then you can, you know, you can try to be negative all you want, but they're going to take it back and be like, no, you really did that thing. Like, accept it. It's fine. Live in the moment. And I'm sure, you know, if you've already networked with amazing people, they will be dying to give you compliments. And I give compliments like people give candy on Halloween. I think it's something that we all need. Even if you're giving the compliment, it feels so much better, and I feel like it makes me feel better as a person. Hey, you guys, thank you so much for tuning in today's episode. This is my heart project, and I hope you took something away with you today. If you could please screenshot this episode, share it in your stories if you loved it, and share it with a friend that could use this advice, because today's episode was pretty good. All right, guys, I'll talk to you later on the Instagram. Feel free to DM me. I respond to them all the time, every day. But until next week, bye, my friends.